Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Did I ever let you slip away? Never knowing I'd be singing this song someday. And now I'm sinking to ride no more. Ever since you closed the door, if I could turn back the hands of time, then my darling, you'd still be mine. If I could turn back the hands of time, then darling, you'd still be mine. Funny how time goes by and blessings are missed in the wake of an eye. Oh, why, oh, why should one have to go on suffering? Every day I breathe, please come back to me. And if I could turn back the hands of time, then my darling, you would be mine.
Welcome back to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And what was playing was a video by R. Kelly, If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time. And that sound that you was hearing, it was a car accident scene that was playing in the air coming through the window. So it was no background interference. It's something you would have understood had you seen the video. But I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all of my global listeners in 28 countries. Thank you for tuning in and being with us tonight. And tonight, we're going to have the phenomenal lady of the hour, Moi, talking about my book, Why Did I Stay So Long? And for those who got the book, they are loving it. And I'm trying to get it out to many places right now. I got it in some public libraries, and I'm trying to get it into better shelters for women, because it's something that people don't realize. It affects not just women being abused, but senior citizens, young people, and men. And the statistics for men being sexually, emotionally, and physically abused is rising 33% to 40% yearly, and is getting higher and higher, the statistics. So with that being said, and I already introduced myself, let me introduce the phenomenal Chris Michael Ward. Hey, darling.
Yeah. Hello. Happy Friday. TGIF.
How do you too, baby? Well, Chris, it's on you to ask me the questions, because I already know what the answers are. So, how about the listeners?
All right. Well, my first question is, how did you come up with the title? Why did you stay so long? How did you come up with that title?
That's a good question, Chris. What happened was, you know, when people say what happened was, it sounds like you're ready to start to tell a lie. But really what happened was, at this particular time, my mom was getting sicker, and she went into hospice, and I was in a very low place. I was depressed. I was crying. I was feeling like I didn't know which way to turn, and having issues with my siblings, you know, during a difficult time because my mom, man, that's my best friend. I love her to the moon and back. And
yeah.
It was something that I did to be therapeutic for me. And when I say, why did I stay so long, you know, I started reflecting about really why didn't I stay longer when I went to visit my mom in Maryland, you know, and everything. Because God don't let you know when he's going to carry one of his children home. But when they go, man, it leaves such a void. And I was thinking about a whole lot of things, you know, because when you're depressed, you know, it doesn't always have you thinking about what you're depressed about. It just has you see the whole spectrum of your life and everything that was depressing to you. And somewhere back in my life, I had to deal with some emotional abuse. You know, it wasn't quite physical, but I think it was going to head that way had I stayed, because this knucklehead, you know, he would bump into me, you know, or throw shit, and I'd be ducking, you know, and I knew that was, for me, enough to say, let me get the hell away, because this guy, he had lost his damn mind. And I started thinking about other times when I saw my mom, who was abused by one of her ex-husbands, and running to the courthouse, you know, the police station, I mean, and waiting there all night long, and they wouldn't do anything because at the time, they wasn't considering when a man rapes his wife as rape. They just call it domestic disturbances and stuff like that, you know. And I seen my mother go through that, and she put up with it because she felt that she needed to keep him because she had children, and she didn't think she could take care of us with just her income alone. So, you know, and then I've seen friends and people go through it. You know, if anybody was honest with themselves, everyone knows somebody, if not a victim themselves. Everyone knows somebody who's been an emotional victim, sexual victim, and, you know, physical victim, you know. But the thing is, people need to know when to get the hell out. You know, don't stay stuck. You know, some people stay too long, and they wind up looking like those pictures that you saw in the book.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer, I mean, you kind of went places. So I'm just gonna just so I can understand it. The answer is you wrote it for two reasons. Then you named it that book for two reasons, because you wish you spend more time with your mom, and because that's what people say when they're in abusive relationships, right?
Well. First reason I wrote the book was therapeutic, because I got tired of crying every day. I got tired of having migraines because I felt like there's nothing I could do to stop or improve my mother's condition. So I had told myself, let me hurry up and write this book. Let me do something, because as long as I don't do something with my mind or my hands, you know, I felt like I was going to fall apart too. And I'm a believer that a person can will themselves to die. You know, when you're that depressed, because when your spirit gives up, you know, it don't always have to be a heart attack or something else. You know, they say stress can take you out, you know, and I was in a dark place watching my mom lose weight and getting sicker and sicker. So that was the reason I wrote the book therapeutic. The reason why I named it that way, because in my depression going through that, it started showing me a whole lot of vivid memories from my past that I had just blocked out, and they was all talking about somebody being emotionally, sexually, or physically abused. I said, well, let me write a book about this, because none of my books I ever wrote, you know, were a self-help book. They were either poetry, short stories, or novel. So this is my very first self-help book, you know, book number 11 under my name, even though I ghost wrote two other books for other people. and they got over it and didn't pay me my money. But this is the book 11 published under my name.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know a few ghostwriters. I mean, they are awesome out there. But so that's nice. And this is your first self-help book, and you did dedicate the book to your mom. And you do have a lot of tips in there for people to buy the book and can find that. But how long did it take you to complete the book?
You know, so I don't even remember, but I really think that. I really don't think it took long. I think that maybe from conception to having proofread by my wonderful editor in Canada, Jim Sweatingham, you know, through the whole phase, I think it may have took 2 months. And because I was making a promise, I was telling myself, Lord, let me finish this book before my mother passed, because if my mother would have passed before the book was completed, then I don't think that I would have finished the book. And the ironic thing about that is it was a Wednesday that I mailed the book off to the printer, the manuscript, and she passed that Friday, 2 days later.
Wow, that's amazing. So, yeah, so you know, when I got the book, I was surprised about how in depth it was, because I didn't know what to expect. Because to be honest, I never read any of your books, but I know that you're very smart and you're very intelligent. So I was surprised about how. You're welcome. I was surprised about how in depth and how you put a lot of sources in there. You know, it wasn't just opinion. You backed it up with how people can research their own. You know, research the information in the book. I thought that was nice. And one of my favorite things in the book is your poem "Victory." How long did it take you to write that poem?
You know, for real, that poem spilled out just like that. You know, one thing people who are writers or poets, they will tell you that whatever your emotion is, if you're extremely excited and happy or extremely sad, the stuff pours out of you. When you okay and nothing is special, whatever, it takes longer to write. And because I was already depressed, you know, it was coming from my heart, so it came quick. Anybody will tell you, even if yourself, you might not be a poet, but I promise you to challenge yourself. When you have a spot in your life when you're extremely excited and happy and upbeat or even sad, just go somewhere in a quiet space and start writing your thoughts. It'll come out just like that, because that's how it works. Anything that's genuine don't take long. Anything that takes time is like, you're really not feeling as much, you know. But, if you got the book handy, why don't you read the poem for our listeners?
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to read it. Hold on, I'll read it.
No, baby, I just recently moved. I got boxes everywhere.
All right, I can read it. I don't know if I can read it as good as you, but I'll read it.
Okay, baby, see what you do.
Okay, it says, "Victory" by authorist Terry E. Lyle. It says you read it in 2019. Wow.
December, because she died around the holiday.
Okay, It said, it goes, "I used to think that victory wouldn't arise because I had to look at my swollen black eyes. I felt like I was going through hell because of those horrible secrets that I couldn't tell. Tears? I said I cried quite a few, but I suspected others already knew. I went from hopelessness and sinking in despair, afraid to seek help thinking no one would care, fearing there was no hope because my life seemed fray. I'd forgotten one thing. I should have knelt down and prayed. God sent me hope, and I know this to be true. My life is so much better, and I feel brand new. No longer in that abusive relationship, not beat down or emotionally whipped. My tip is to seek out help and tell everyone. There are options for you to get the job done. Victory can be yours, and it's right within reach. Stop being a victim of that cruel, awful leash. Some people need jail time to learn a lesson before they get punished, before someone freaks out and they meet Smith and Wesson.
Yeah, you can't be backing people into a corner because you never know how somebody's going to do when they got nothing else to lose, you know? And when you beat somebody and break them down, you know, they feel you got nothing to lose. And, you know, maybe they're going to lash out, maybe they won't. But, you know, you got to be careful when you mess with people's minds.
Yeah, you kind of misspelled Smith and Wesson, but I know you're trying to rhyme. I got it. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
okay.
On that note, Chris, let's take a little small break, and we'll be back at 2:02.
Okay.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Hey, who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my
girlfriend. Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Travel back and forth.
Public libraries carry your book. How many public libraries carry your book?
Two of them. Right now, I know that the library in Columbus, Georgia, near Fort Benning, their main library, they got some of my books. But some of the older books, which called Said Ain't So, some of my older publications, because where I'm at now, I'm not near Columbus, Georgia, where I could take one. And also a public library down near Gulf Shores has my book. So that's good. But I have moved, so I'm going to get them out here to some place where I'm at now, and I'm going to have a book signing soon as I can, like, find a space with all these boxes and find my real clothes, because I ain't going to have no book signing wearing no jeans. You know, I got to come correct with my bling and my clothes and stuff. So y'all haven't seen me going to church because a sister has been hurting. She has been here with a bad back and shoulder trying to unpack by herself. So it's taking a minute. So y'all know how it is to pack up your stuff and then take it somewhere else and then try to unpack by yourself. It's hard work. And trust what I'm telling you, I've been paying people to help. And, you know, it's a challenge. But, you know, I just need to slow down and stop because now I can't even raise that right shoulder up hardly. So I'm having a problem with that. But anyway, I'm going to try to get as many places as possible. And I'm also going to be trying to see if I can get it in different hospitals, too, in emergency rooms, because a lot of times people come in emergency rooms that have been victims. And I'm even thinking that maybe the police department's Quasi's cat might need a copy. And elder abuse places, because as you read my book, you know, people think that it's only people that's abusing. It's not young people. Anybody can be abused. Anybody, young, old, male, you know, anybody.
Yeah, and as I was reading your book, I was thinking, because, you know, I watch The View every day. I don't know if you're a fan of The View, but I was thinking you should be a guest on The View, because you'd really sell some hot. You'd really sell some books on that show. That's an awesome show.
If I knew how to become a guest, I would do that. Now, I'm telling you what, you could do all that for me, Mr. Media Man, because if somebody said I could be on this show, my little fat behind will stop everything I'm doing, and boom, I'll be on a plane.
Hey, you can get in New York. I love New York. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a great place.
Yeah, look at these split. I will be there, you know. Say, he's my best person, and he's the reason I'm here, and I've got to tell this story. Yeah, you'd be there right along with me.
Oh, yeah. I'd be there seeing my Joy Behar. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Anyway, my next question is, now, this next question, you don't have to go into details. This is just a general question, but do you know, as you say, this book is not just for women, it's for men. Do you know any men affected by abuse that's covered in this book?
Yes, I do. I know a guy that was getting high at this house party. They was all drinking, doing drugs, you know, and this person thought that they were around friends, and turned out that they raped this guy. And after they raped him, he wound up with HIV. Most of his friends has died, but he's still living. But, yeah, I know some men. And, you know, that's a hard story to tell, because a lot of people, Quasi's kept, you know, they don't want to believe that men are victims too. They want to think that, it's a female thing. You know, I'm a man. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to me. But, you know, a lot of times, like I said in my book, even men get these women that are out there and flamboyant and sexual and all this and that, and they want that crazy sex. And then after they get that chick, man, and she flipped the script and started, you know, getting a little physical because she's straight up crazy, bad jack crazy to start with, you know. And then when you tell somebody, people look at you like you crazy, like, oh, that ain't real. I ain't no woman going to be beating his butt. But, you know, look around at some of them females that are bodybuilders and strong. I'm not going to classify them as being lesbian. I'm just talking about, look at them strong women. There's some strong women who just go out just to be strong, self-defense. Maybe they used to be a victim, and they're not going to be a future victim. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that are raised to, you know, not put their hand on women. They're raised to show women respect, you know, and be caring. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, these women out here, they ain't used to having somebody that's nice and caring, you know. And then when they get a real man to show them some love and affection, first thing they do, they want to get all crazy, because that's all they know is crazy. And because that male person is so used to lifting up a woman instead of tearing her down, that when she shove on him or push him or whatever, you know, his first instinct is, well, you know, I can handle her because, you know, I'm stronger, I'm a man. But then when she's, you know, swing or act like she really becoming an alpha chick and being aggressive, you know, it gets to the point that he's been so trained not to hit a woman that he try to just restrain her and back away, you know. And, you know, so there's a lot of reasons some of these guys don't fight back. And I think the major reason is that they feel like if they do defend themselves, you know, when the cops come, they're going to believe a woman first. Because, oh, she's just a woman, you know, and they ain't trying to go to jail. So they let shit slide, they let stuff slide. And then when the police department come, if they was to say, well, she did that to me, and all she got to do is cry, act like a broken woman, like, oh, he did that to me, the police going to immediately assume that the woman is the victim instead of she being the perpetrator.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Now, this is the question that I would ask any author, and I don't, you know, I know the book, you know, like you said, the book's not, you know, it's only in two libraries, but I think you're a public figure too. I mean, you've written books, and you've been on the radio a long time before we knew each other. What reviews have you gotten for this book, about this book?
Oh, man, I have got stellar reviews, and people are saying, oh, my God, I had to reread it several times. And I had some people say, wow, you know, it makes me feel sad because they felt like they suspected somebody new were a victim, and they didn't know what to do. In the book, like, you know, in the book, it shows a person a game plan. You know, it's one thing to be abused, and hell, you know you're abused, but sometimes you just figure, what can I do? And a lot of times people think, if I got children or if I got no money, I'm trapped. No, you're not trapped, baby. I don't care who you are. I will give you a way to get out. I'll show you a way to get out. I will give you resources where to go, because what good is sitting there telling somebody that you've been beat up or whatever and you don't give them no help? Because a lot of times, you know, once you go to your family several times and then you go back to that same person that abused you, your family sometimes don't want to fool with you no more because you keep going back to that same mess. And so sometimes you feel like you have nowhere to turn. In this book, I will give you options. You know, I will give you encouragement. You know, I will show you places to go for help. I will show you how to escape. You know, I will give you some spiritual food to make you feel like, okay, this can be done. I will give you my personal phone number. You can call a sister if you want to talk one-on-one. You know, I got you covered. It's no shame to being abused. The shame is when you know you're in a situation and you don't do nothing to make it better. That's the shame.
All right. Yeah, I agree. That's the shame. And, you know, I asked that question, what kind of reviews are you getting? Not because I don't know, because I see it on your Facebook, but a lot of people wouldn't see that, so that's why I wanted you to explain that you've been getting some great reviews on that.
Yeah, great reviews, yep. Yep, because some of the people at my church read it, and they were one of the ones, this counselor at my church, she wanted me to go in my area, and she gave me information to get a book signed. And she's a counselor, and she's real impressed, you know. So, you know, I'm getting a lot of accolades, you know. But, you know, it's not me. It's God did it, because, you know, the last book I wrote was called Broken. It was my autobiography, you know, that people know that, you know, I came from a good family, you know, but shit happens, you know. And I want people to know, just because you had it rough coming up, people who had it good coming up, we all can fall prey to being and living a messed up life, you know. And I thank God for Jesus that years ago, you know, when I was trying to act out because I wanted to see what it was that my family was sheltering me from, you know. So with that being said, you know, I prayed about that book. I knew I was born a 10th month, 10th day, you know, so that was book number 10. So this book, you know, therapeutic as it was, you know, I always try, if you can go back to book number 1, Brown Bag Poetry, every book that I've written, I've always got to put God first in it, God and then my mom, because God blessed me with a beautiful mother. You know, he gave me the best mom for me, you know, and I always put him first because we can't do nothing without God. It's not whether I want you to believe or you don't believe, but I know the God that I serve, he has got me through all these years, and I'm still here. I may be a little broken, but I'm still here. And so with that being said, you know, you can ask me one more question, Chris, because then we got to wrap it up, baby.
I had like 3 more questions. All right. Well, I'll ask you this question. This question is the most important one out of the 3 I have. How would you celebrate if this book was a New York Times bestseller?
Know what I would do? Since my mom is gone, I would get my daughter and my grandkids. I would get you and your friend, and I would get my other co-host, because this is a journey. And y'all have been with me through the trenches, you know. Y'all seen the ups and the downs. And you want people around you that have seen your ups and your downs. Because I don't need nobody just come aboard when they say, oh, she's a bestseller, name won't be my friend. I don't know them from Adam, you know what I'm saying? So I would take, and, you know, I'm not dealing with my siblings right now because, it, you know, I'm not dealing with them. But, and my family is small, one child, and then I got, you know, my other stepdaughter and my grandkids and you and Mark, you know, and Mark. So I would take the people that I trust. And we fucking go out of town, my treat, and we go celebrate, hey, out of town. I pay for the plane ticket and a hotel, and we go somewhere, we get our party on shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for letting me ask you questions, and I just want to tell our viewers. I know it's not the topic, but it's important to say. Please be safe with the coronavirus going around.
Amen. Amen. Because the death toll is growing exponentially. I mean, you're right. You know, wash your hands every chance you get. Somebody coughing in front of you, cover your mouth. You know, just don't put your hand to your mouth. The doctors are saying, touching your face, that's how it gets in through the nose, the mouth. You know, be very careful. And for anyone out there, you know, who want my book, Why Did I Stay So Long? I self-published for the first time, and I didn't put it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble because, you know, I'm paying for the book to get printed. And then they want to take over my barcode, you know, my ISBN number, and then they want to give me some change on a dollar. They done bumped their head, you know. I'm paying for everything just because it's on your site. I'm not going to get really no money. Wrong answer. So if you want to get a book, Why Did I Stay So Long, hit me up on yahoo.com, sweetfire01. Send me a PayPal invoice. Do Zelle through your bank. You know, just ask your bank. I want to get Zelle. Money is transferred in 5 minutes. Do a cash app. Someone sent me a cash app. So I'm not really sure how that goes, but I guess it's under my name, Terry Lyle, you know, or, you know, send me a money order. And we'll talk, and I'll tell you what's in the money order, too. But you want to, yeah, you know, right? I had some crazies here on Facebook, you know, trying to share me and all those other kind of stuff. So I'm kind of leery dealing with people on Facebook. But, you know, everybody out there on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, where are you at? You know, hook up a sister, you know, PayPal invoice to do it, Zelle do it, a cash app. You know, because I don't know where y'all can send a money order unless y'all know me personally and I trust you. But just anybody, I'm not going to give y'all my location. And I just want to thank Chris for asking those questions that people wanted to hear. And thank you, Chris, for continually posting the book. And you be having a little sexy little pictures, you know. You know, the last week picture, you know, he took on Facebook, got this little sexy going on. I don't know what the hell was going on, but you have you're looking all sexy, Chris. Hey, damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a hand to Terry E. Lyle. Woohoo!
Hey! That'll work. I love you, darling. See you next week.
Too. Okay.
And you take care and have a safe weekend, okay?
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.